Oke, selamat datang teman-teman. Selamat pagi. Kembali lagi di acara FDE 2021. Hari ini kita mulai lebih pagi ya, jam 9 daripada 2 hari kemarin yang jam 10 dan juga jam setengah 11. Kita masih tunggu beberapa teman yang mungkin baru mau hadir. Teman-teman juga bisa minta tolong buat diingetin teman-temannya yang belum hadir, para peserta. Soalnya akan ada penjelasan tentang penggunaan room bahasa Indonesia karena di pagi hari ini kita akan kedatangan lagi ya pemateri dari luar sehingga nanti ada pilihan untuk menggunakan ruangan bahasa Indonesia gitu. Jadi kita akan tunggu sebentar paling enggak ya semenit 2 menit nunggu teman-teman lain yang belum bergabung. Jadi nanti penjelasannya bisa jelas di awal. Mungkin sebelum itu, sembari menunggu, buat teman-teman yang mungkin baru gabung sekarang, izinkan saya buat menceritakan kembali tentang FDE 2021 ini ya. Ini adalah sebuah festival online pertama bertema demokrasi ekonomi di Indonesia. Dan demokrasi ekonomi sendiri sebenarnya merupakan cita-cita yang sudah terpatri ya di Undang-Undang Dasar 1945 pasal 33 ayat 4-nya. Dan sebenarnya sudah 76 tahun berlalu dan juga sudah direvisi juga sejak kemerdekaan. Namun rasanya demokrasi ekonomi belum menjadi wacana arus utama agenda ekonomi di Indonesia. Nah, oleh karena itu, di tahun ini, tema FDE 2021 adalah menyalakan kembali mimpi demokrasi ekonomi. Dan di sesi ke-8 ini, berjudul How Can We Accelerate the Birth of More Co-op Businesses? Nah, rangkaian acara dari FDE 2021 ini tuh berlangsung selama 3 hari dan hari ini adalah hari terakhir dan juga 2 pre-event ya. Di mana 2 pre-event itu lomba blog dan video udah kami laksanakan sebelumnya dan kemarin kita sudah bertemu dengan para pemenangnya dan membahas bagaimana mereka memproduksi video dan juga bagaimana mereka menulis kayak gitu. Dan hari ini hari terakhir, hari ini sesi ke-8 dari total 10 sesi dan 2 pidato kunci. Ucapan terima kasih juga kami ingin sampaikan. Pada para pendukung ASEAN Solidarity Economy Council, Pak ASEC, IKOPIN, LSP2I, Platform Koperasi Digital atau KODI, Siger Innovation Hub, dan juga PPKL Jaksel. Dan masih banyak lagi para pendukung, seperti Yayasan Proklamator Bung Hatta, CIH Unsud, Kosakti, Diksi, Kopindo, dan Insis Press. Dan acara ini juga diselenggarakan atas kerjasama banyak sekali lembaga ya yang berkenan untuk memberikan dukungannya berupa pemateri ataupun moderator di seluruh rangkaian acara 3 hari ini. Nah mungkin sebelum saya jelaskan tentang interpreter, ruang interpreter saya akan kirimkan seperti biasa yang sudah berkali-kali ikut diskusi di Gapatma atau di FDE 2021 ini pasti tahu kalau misalnya memberikan pertanyaan nanti melalui Slido. Jadi di Slido ini teman-teman bisa memberikan pertanyaan dan juga voting pertanyaan. Jadi apabila teman-teman nanti belum ada pertanyaan, nggak masalah, tetap aja buka Slido-nya buat bisa vote pertanyaan-pertanyaan teman-teman yang lain. Sehingga nanti kita akan jawab pertanyaannya, kita urutkan dari atas. Dari vote yang paling banyak sampai yang vote-nya paling sedikit, apabila waktunya memungkinkan. Oke, sepertinya kita mulai saja ya penjelasan tentang ruang. Jadi karena hari ini kita kedatangan tamu internasional dan akan memakai full bahasa Inggris untuk di sesinya, namun teman-teman yang merasa masih ragu untuk mendengarkan dalam bahasa Inggris, teman-teman bisa cek di fitur yang ada di Zoom, di More atau itu ada tulisan Interpretation. Nah, teman-teman klik, nanti teman-teman bisa klik ruang Bahasa Indonesia. Jadi klik Interpretation, lalu klik Bahasa Indonesia. Gitu. Namun apabila teman-teman ingin mendengarkan dalam bahasa Inggris, teman-teman nggak perlu melakukan apapun. Jadi nggak perlu masuk di ruang Bahasa Inggris, nggak perlu. Jadi teman-teman hanya cukup, ya nggak usah melakukan apapun, kayak gitu ya. Jadi saya ulangi sekali lagi, bagi teman-teman yang mau mendengarkan dalam Bahasa Indonesia, tinggal klik di fitur yang ada di Zoom, teman-teman bisa klik Interpretation, lalu klik Bahasa Indonesia. Tapi apabila teman-teman mau mendengarkan dalam bahasa Inggris, nggak usah melakukan apapun gitu. Dan teman-teman sebenarnya bisa bolak-balik secara apa ya, maksudnya bisa bolak-balik aja gitu. Misalnya kayak pengen nyobain bahasa Indonesia, terus di off-in gitu, nggak masalah. Di situ setelah teman-teman klik Bahasa Indonesia juga, kalau mau nggak mendengarkan suara yang bahasa Inggris, bisa di-mute juga. Ada opsi untuk di-mute. Gitu. Ya. Itu mungkin kita bisa langsung mulai pada pagi hari ini. Kita akan dimoderatori oleh Mbak Kiki dari Youth Ambassador of Global Cooperative Entrepreneur. Halo, Mbak Kiki.
Halo, selamat pagi.
Pagi. Oke, udah ready ya?
Ya.
Oke, sip. Silahkan.
Mbak Kiki. Thank you, Mas Bima. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us again in this morning, and welcome for the new participant who on this event. I am Aquila, as known as Kiki, from Indonesia, and I will be your moderators today. This is interesting discussion, because cooperative also recognized as mechanism for fostering economic growth. Cooperative structure are so allowing individual to pool their resources and skills together to work toward common economic goals, such as tourism, agricultural sectors, workers, etc., with aim to increasing member incomes and other goals. By working together, Coop members can achieve the goals that could not be achieved by individual alone in bringing seven cooperative principles. But how to start? How can it be sustained? Our speaker today is the people who help a community to incubate their cooperative in their place. And we'll share about what are they doing in their work to accelerate the birth of co-op business in their area. The presentations will be presentations by the speakers for 15 minutes, and followed by a short discussion for each presentations. So let me introduce our first speakers. We have Mr. Greg Brodsky from the start.coop. He is the co-director of start.coop. Mr. Greg, the floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. Selamat pagi. And first of all, I just want to say how much of an incredible honor it is to present to you all. Over 20 years ago, I actually studied abroad in Indonesia during my university, and I lived in Malang for several months. And I still think about the tempeh I had there, and the nasi goreng, and the gado-gado. So I love Indonesia. I love the people of Indonesia. So when I got this invitation, I couldn't say no, because it was such a great honor. So I'm in the United States, and so I'm going to share my slides and just talk about what we're doing here to try to create more cooperatives. Okay, so the name of our program is Start.coop. And here in the United States, we have huge wealth inequality. So we have a lot of very rich people, and then a lot of very poor people. And we know that ownership is being increasingly concentrated in a handful of just a few people, and is especially a problem when we talk about people of color or Black people here in the US, that they don't have enough wealth and ownership. We also know that cooperatives here in the United States have a big impact when they're used. We talk about the fact that maybe cooperatives are almost like hiding in plain sight, that they're here, but people don't see them all the time and don't talk about them. So people belong to them, but they don't know what cooperatives are. And so the question is if cooperatives are so great, why aren't there more cooperatives? And we've identified three major reasons why we think there are so few new cooperatives being started. Fewer than 1% of new businesses in the US are cooperatively owned. So why is that? Number one is there's a misunderstanding or misperception that even though a lot of people have heard the word cooperative, only 11% of people in the United States can accurately define what a cooperative is. Many people have heard the word but can't really explain it. Number two is for people who want to start cooperatively owned businesses, they feel like there's a lack of support. They feel like it can feel confusing or complicated compared to starting a traditional business. And finally, for those who know to start one and make it through the path, then there's also a lack of financing or investment to make the business bigger. So we created an accelerator called Start That Co-op about 4 years ago to help support the entrepreneurs, mainly focusing on this second problem of how do we bring more support to entrepreneurs who want to start cooperative-owned business. We try to bring more people in to cooperative ownership. We share the stories of our graduates and the community. And so right now we get maybe 100 to 120 people inquiring every year about our program. Maybe 75 to 85 people per year apply to our program. And then we choose the top 6 to 8 entrepreneurs every year who we think have a business that can scale. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. So as we get these applications, we look at them, who can have a big impact, who has a real business plan, who's having the biggest social impact. And then we put them through our accelerator program. And so just to talk about what our accelerator program is, there's a curriculum, almost like a mini education for business education. There's mentorship, there is coaching. We connect them to other businesses and service providers. And we also give them a small investment. So we really try to give them everything they need to be a successful business. This is an overview of the kind of curriculum that we give to them. So each week they're focusing on a different part of the business, everything from fundraising and presenting to ownership, governance, marketing, competition, financial, and even sort of the emotional aspect of being an entrepreneur. And then at the very end of the program, we have them present to the big community. So this year we got about 350 people to attend Zoom graduation, and we try to give them investment and community to help them support their business. So it's curriculum, investment, a big mentor community, and then the service providers that help them as well. And then the last aspect I want to talk about a little bit is, as we've been doing the program now for 3 years, and each year we graduate 6 to 8 new cooperatives, we realized that one of the biggest problems was that they're not receiving enough financing. And so we would interview the entrepreneurs at the beginning of the program, and we would say, what's your biggest problem? And they would say, lack of money. And we would interview them at the end of the program, and we would say, what's your biggest problem? And they would say, lack of money. And so we have actually now designed a very small investment fund to help invest in the best graduates of our program. So our program itself is a nonprofit. I don't know what the Indonesian equivalent is, but the Accelerator is a nonprofit. And then we also have this investment fund to invest in the graduates. So we're just starting that and learning about what works, but we're trying to bring together a community of individual investors who want to invest in the teams. And we bring them to graduation, and we also have them work with the entrepreneurs. And yeah, and that's it. I'm happy to take more questions. I tried to keep it, you know, just give you the key parts. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Greg, for your presentations. It's very interesting that in incubating the co-op, I see that in 60 weeks of fame that we discussed in there. We're still waiting for the questions, but we have the interesting thing that you have partnering with several institutions to this program. So can you let us know more about this this partnership thing?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So as the entrepreneurs go through the program, they need different things, right? So they need help with their business model. So that comes from the staff and also the mentors, but then they also need help with just different aspects of their
tech programming. So what we try to do is jadi kami harus dengan mereka dengan banyak sekali orang yang bisa mempermudah mereka, dan kami juga akan
we have this problem, here's someone who's really good at it, so we can just plug them in and make them more efficient at solving their problem. And I think, you know, part of what we're trying to do that is, well, I think there's two interesting things about what we're trying to do. One is that we're trying to take the entrepreneurs who already have a great idea and already have the passion and the vision for the business. And the second thing is that then we're trying to speed up their process for them, that we think it takes too long right now to create each cooperative. And we're trying to like systematize it for them so that we're not doing one at a time. We're trying to say, hey, we've got a lot of resources and we can all do this faster and more efficiently. And I'm happy to talk more or take questions.
And we're waiting for the next question from the participant. So I will introduce the second speakers here. It's Mr. Rohan Clark from Australia. He is the co-founder of incubator.com. And Mr. Rohan, the floor is yours.
Thanks so much, Kiki. And thank you everyone for having me today. This is echo Greg's thoughts. It's an honor to be able to kind of to present to you today and talk about what we're doing with Incubator Co-op. Incubator Co-op, we started around about coming on 5 years ago now, and we've run a number of accelerator programs and incubator programs. Series one and two.
Apa yang saya pikirkan hari ini adalah memberikan keuntungan pikir. Dan saya membawakan pelajaran terkait dengan
the kind of in gestation currently. So it might just provide a different kind of perspective on some of the things that we've learned from Incubator Co-op. So if I work this works currently. Hey, it works. Fantastic. So The first of these is the Regen Farmers Mutual. Its journey started just over a year ago, and its objective is to help Australian farmers accessing
membantu para petani Australia masuk ke dalam pasar. Jadi idenya adalah
incentivized and rewarded for doing good things on their farm through environmental markets. So that's the Regen Farmers Mutual. And the second co-op that's we're going to look at is Wayfarer Co-op, and some of you may have seen this before. Wayfarer is also started around about 18 months ago now, and it went through the Platform Co-ops Now Accelerator program. And you can think of Wayfarer a bit like Airbnb, but rather than being owned by shareholders in the US, it's owned by cooperatively by local communities via their tourism boards. And so under the model, it invests 50% of its booking fees back into local communities. So while the guest kind of pays the same as they would otherwise, and while the host receives the same as they would under the Airbnb model, the local community is actually getting funding via Wayfarer. So there are our two co-ops that we kind of step through and give you some like five lessons as to what we've learned with respect to, you know, how you go about, you know, incubating and starting up a co-op. So the first and probably the most important thing is, and this is no different to any startup really, but it comes through time and again that in our incubator process, that it's really, really important to go beyond kind of abstract value statements and really find that simple, clear way to express, you know, the reason why your new co-op is coming into existence. So with respect to the Regen Farmers Mutual, this is something that our members, our farmers, can really easily understand. So currently, when they go, you know, if they want to access environmental markets, currently 50% of the revenue goes to the broker that's dealing with them. And farmers across the country feel like they're getting ripped off or taken advantage of. And so they very, very clearly understand that, like, by creating their own farmer-owned broker, that they can retain more of the value, that they can retain, the objective is for farmers to retain 80% of the value, with 10% of the value going to a local group to deliver on-ground services, and only 10% being retained by the mutual to cover its operating costs, its overheads. So that's a really clear value proposition for the members, that they're getting more of the value from these transactions. So kind of similarly or in contrast, Wayfarer, it's very clear that, so in Australia, there's about $150 million that is paid to accommodation booking platforms, principally Airbnb, with those profits all disappearing offshore without even really tax being paid locally. So it's a really simple concept for people to understand that with Wayfarer, that money stays in the community and is reinvested back into the local communities where that tourism occurs. So it's a really simple proposition that people can kind of pick up on. Okay, so that was the first lesson. So the second one is that it pays for a new co-op to be obsessively member-centric. And what we mean by that is that co-ops are always about delivering value to their members first. And so with respect to, there's a lot going on this page, but with respect to the Regen Farmers Mutual, basically over the last 12 months, we've run three series of programs, of workshops. We've now had 80 farmers and conservation organisations and some government departments come through these workshops, and each of those workshops were anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks in terms of total. And through those workshops, we were able to co-create the mutual with farmers. So what this has meant is that, like, it's farmers are, you know, embedded in the DNA of the mutual. And this creates a competitive advantage that, like, is, you know, very difficult for other organisations to compete with. So you can see here that the business process of the mutual is what this engage, define, market, that's what it does. And embedded in what it's done it does. We've gone through and we've worked with the farmers and asked them, what does it need to do to deliver you value? And so throughout the process, at every step of the process, farmers are central to the decisions of the mutual. So the idea is that farmers, like this mutual, is really focused on delivering value to its members. In terms of the Wayfarer, it's slightly different. Now, like, so with Wayfarer, the members are individual farmers. They're actually going to be tourism boards. So tourism boards are like semi-government kind of entities. And because of that, they typically are a larger and better resourced, but they're also slower moving. You know, government's typically slower moving than, you know, an individual. And so therefore the process of our co-creation with our members kind of has reflected this. What we've been doing instead is to focus on developing a really deep relationship with one tourism board, a very large tourism board in Australia. And what we're doing is we're co-creating the co-op with that one member, and then developing relationships with a lighter touch, like with other regions around the country at the same time. So what this enables us to do is to really understand deeply what tourism boards need as a member, and to prove the model before we seek to roll it out across the country. All right, so that's our second lesson, that pays to understand and focus on your member. The third lesson is that you really want to build from your competitive advantage, and co-ops have a really distinct advantage that other business models can't replicate, is because you're wholly aligned to your members. And no other organizational structure has that alignment. So in a Regen Farmers Mutual, this is kind of one of those rare moments in my career, and it's been a few years now, where every organization we meet, from government to conservation organization to farmer groups, they can all see that the need of the mutual, because, you know, the farmers are getting ripped off, they're not being incentivized to do these, to participate. And so not only can these organizations see that this mutual is needed, but they also can see how they can work with it, how they're aligned to it. So it becomes immediately obvious to them how they can work with the mutual and how they can engage with it. And the thing is that other brokers in the industry, so the privately owned brokers that are owned by venture capital funds and what have you, they just can't compete because they don't have that same alignment. Again, Wayfarer is slightly different. The same principle applies and arrives at the same place of this alignment, but the way it works with a Wayfarer is that the platform is owned by the tourism boards, and their tourism boards, their role is to promote tourism in their local region, right? So because they're promoting tourism in the local region and Wayfarer is delivering reinvestment in the local region, that's where the alignment occurs. So our members are wholly aligned with the objective of Wayfarer to promote local regional tourism. And then other stakeholders fall in a similar way as the mutual. They fall in behind and they actually are also aligned. So you can see that hosts, being those property owners, now offer their properties to service the benefit of the community because the fees are invested back in tourism projects. So these projects, these tourism projects, which are the way that the Wayfarer reinvests in the community, they connect everyone together. As Greg said, funding is a real key issue for any co-op. And similar to Start Co-op, Incubator Co-op is working with our peak body to create a co-op development fund. But one of the lessons we've learned along the way is that funding always starts with the members. So you need to find a way to actually incentivize or find channels whereby members can find a model where they can participate in helping to fund the mutual. So in the Regen Farmers Mutual case, we're about to undertake a 4-month program to recruit members. And out of that program, we're aiming to raise $5 million from 1,000 farmers, which will become the scale up capital to enable the mutual to grow. In contrast, Wayfarer, again, because our members are quasi-government entities, they've got resources to pay up front. So the way we're doing that is we're structuring them to pay entry fees, which enable for the local setup costs. And then additionally, they are, because they'll be supporting the model and incentivized to participate in the model, they'll employ people locally on their own staff. And so that they'll be investing in the model by employing people locally. And then the model allows for, once it scales, through rebates, to then start funding those local employees of the members. So it's a different model. One's raising equity from members, another's raising is charging members fees. And the final thing that kind of lesson I just wanted to share with you is that, like, love the concept of co-ops helping co-ops. In Australia, it's proven relatively difficult to get support from a lot of our larger co-ops. And so what we've found is that you can also look beyond co-ops to the social enterprise networks, to other aligned organisations to help, you know, to help engage, because they'll be aligned with what you're seeking to do. So in terms of the Regen Farmers Mutual, we're working with Landcare, and Landcare has over 6,000 local groups spread across the country and over 100,000 members. And Landcare is 100% aligned to the objectives of the mutual. So we'd be able to enter into an MOU with them where they're actually going to be introducing us to their 100,000 members. So that's the way that works in that circumstance. Not necessarily a co-op, but like a large community-based organisation. And with Wayfarer, we're actually engaging with the social enterprise networks. And again, because we have this model where Wayfarer is effectively reinvesting back into the local community and focused on reinvesting into the social enterprises within those communities, that those existing social enterprises networks are heavily motivated to participate and support. So that's the mechanism we're using to engage co-op-like entities in the Australian ecosystem. So that's it. Five lessons from two startup co-ops. I hope you found it interesting. And back to you guys. Back to you, Kiki.
Thank you, Mr. Rohan. It's very interesting that the unique value of Wayfarer is the benefit that will give into community development. Since in Turin, it's very rare to find the kind of business that build back the community. We can see that in Labuan Bajo, in our country, Indonesia, the money is going outside the Labuan Bajo, and there's nothing left in for the Komodo dragon and for the native people there. So the money goes to another place, and the people stays in suffer because there are no built back in their community from the tourism. So could you let us know about any project that already run from the built back in a built back form from the project in Wayfarer?
So Wayfarer is about to start its first pilot. So it started 18 months ago, and it's been pilot with its first tourism region called Destination Gippsland starts in October. So we haven't as yet, you know, hit the ground and actually started operations. The three projects that are being proposed. So the way it works is when the guest stays at a accommodation, when they're checking out, they can choose from one of three projects that they can donate their 50% to. And so those three areas in Destination Gippsland case will be what's called tracks and trails. So it'll be, you know, like walking in the wilderness. So it's more of an adventure or type within an environment kind of perspective. There'll be protecting koalas. there's a project to protect koalas and other Australian indigenous animals, which clearly people feel there's a certain people that respond to. And there's also another to invest in the local food trails. So it's this part of the world is very much a food and wine destination. And so the idea is to create trails that people can kind of follow. So we haven't as yet identified, that's part of the process we're actually going through right now, working with the local community to work out what are the social enterprises that exist within those. So one, for example, within the tracks and trails, is the idea is that they're of creating a business that can support the maintenance of those trails, because they're wilderness, they need to be weeded and looked after. And typically that's been done by, you know, outsourced contractors that may or may not, there might be big, very large construction company or something. And the idea is, rather than do that, we create an entity that's owned by the employees and by the local government. And then that is the entity that one builds the trails and then maintains them. And so that's kind of the social enterprise that potentially could be catalyzed. The one other thing that I should mention is that we're looking at that 1% of the revenue we would like to set aside for international cooperative development. So the idea that this model could be replicated on a federated basis globally is really of interest. And so if we could find a way to actually create a non-profit, entity that that Wayfair and others could contribute to create knowledge sharing and shared infrastructure, that's something that we think is kind of another thing that kind of model can enable.
Thank you, Mr. Rohan, for the explanation. It's very interesting. Since Indonesia, we have very so many tourism places, and we hope that more business type like this can more develop in Indonesia. Thank you. And then we are moving on to the third speaker. This is Mbak Ani Sahada. Sahada is from InnoCircle Co-op. It's an incubator co-op in Indonesia. So Mbak Ani, stage is yours.
Okay. Good morning, Kiki. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. So I hope all of you safety and also good and healthy in the meantime. Okay, today is a cooperative day in Indonesia, and I would like to wish happy 74th cooperative day. And 74 years ago, our founding fathers declared about cooperative as the pillar of our economic nations, and we are now is the generation that have a duty to preserve the economic democracy in this country. And also in our Undang-Undang 1945 said bahwa perekonomian disusun sebagai usaha bersama berdasar atas asas kekeluargaan. Maybe I will talk part of English and Indonesia. I will mix it because also the participant from Indonesia. And first, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Anis, and my background is I'm practitioner in cooperative, maybe since around 4, 5, 8 years ago. And I'm established an incubator for StarCoop in 2018 to accelerate startup growth, even though in my journey there is a lot of obstacles, starting from an interest from the investor and unskilled of team, limited capital that have an impact to our startup growth. And I also joined in the Association of Indonesian Cooperative for Indonesian Consortium for Cooperative Innovations. This institution, we aim to build a space for cooperative innovation in Indonesia, where we founded to respond to strategic condition that need to be addressed quickly and appropriately. We talk about the we have an issue in the Industrial Revolution 4.0 that has spawned many community that emerged sharing economy business model, which is marked by the proliferation startup company in many areas. That's why we are talking an urge about an innovation and startup co-op because of that external conditions. Okay, maybe next. Next. So first of all, because I'm talking about how to accelerate the birth of the cooperative business, I would like to talk maybe deliver about why cooperative business matters. First, maybe same with Greg, talking about the inequality in Indonesia, and it's, I think maybe it's getting worse during the pandemic, where Oxfam have published the report that four men are estimated to be worth at the same amount as the poorest 100 million people, and the richest 1% now own half the country's wealth. Where we realize that if we continue this condition, it will be have impact of jealousy of the poor people. We know about Indonesia like to bullying each other, I think because they are jealous to few people in the few people in the top of an economic, and they are not, and jealousy is also giving back on unstable of politics also. And how we solve this problem is we have to ownership and wealth should be shared, and cooperative business practice are better for both society and economy. And I think this business model, the governance, where not only talking about the business and also democracy economy, is the best solution for this main problem. And next. And what kind of business should we create in the midst of Industrial Revolution 4.0? Well, actually, in the midst of this era, we are not only talking about the technology, and also Schwab said in his books that the more important that main effect on business is about a customer expectations on product enhancement, collaboration, innovation, and also organizational forms. It means that the main in what kind of business we have to deliver is a business like a platform that combine the technologies and how we can collaborate each others and have a sustainable governance, such kind of cooperative. Okay, next. Okay, we have to consider cooperative an advantage and also disadvantage. Well, basically I'm practitioner in a business, and there's a lot of lack when and a lot of obstacle when I establish with a cooperative way, such kind of, I have a lot of an opportunity, some investor to invest on my startup, but we have no one vision, like they offer majority ownership, and because I want to establish cooperative, and that doesn't work to investor monopolize the ownership, because I wanted to share it to the worker, to the other investor, and also the founder. And that's why some of investor doesn't like my business model. And the disadvantage is also the limited capital. And because I have a lack of capital, I haven't an unskilled team, because I only paid them with the low wages. And that's the multiplier effect and impact on it. And the impact is on efficient management and absence of motivation. And also the regulations cooperative Indonesia in the beginning of 2018, it doesn't support for cooperative, such kind of, we need 20 people to establish co-op. That's, of course, it doesn't agile for us to establish startup because we only need to till 2% to 5% is enough. And in here, we need 20 people. That's a lot. It doesn't agile for us to establish a business, right? And then, but today, government has reduced the establish of cooperative membership. It only needs 9 people, but I hope it only needs 3 people to establish it. The rigid regulations and so many people doesn't know about cooperative suite for them to establish a startup because they only know the limited, how it say, maybe private company that's suitable for them because they are can do anything that and they have a lot of advantages. But and based on my practices, I would like to share my best advantage establish co-op. That is, I think that the cooperative is the best, the rational and the logical for us with the limited resources, limited knowledge for us to collect each other with my college, 1 to 3 person gather in one company to establish. And that is very rational and logical for us to establish because we have to build a company and yeah, we have more easier to gather a vision. And this is, I get it from some reference about the advantage and the disadvantage. Okay, next. Okay, and how to accelerate the part of cooperative business cooperative? I think everyone knowing about a sandbox, right? Startup drama in Korea. It was the best socialization. Tells about especially in Indonesia, talk about the startup and talk about in incubator. After this drama release in Indonesia. Before this drama, they are doesn't know about what kind of incubator, what is the incubator it is, and etc. But after this drama release, everyone more easier to understand what the importance of an incubator. Like we need why we need an incubator or the place where our idea have we can pitch our idea, we can find our investor, we can find our team, we can find the community, the mentorship, and etc. That is the place we called an incubator, or the more easier to understand it, a sandbox, like in a startup drama Korea. In incubator, we can gather stakeholders such kind of university and funding community to build a new enterprises or a new startup, and it was bridging by the incubator. Next, and the last, I would like to say it to Boomer. I think we have to talk about cooperative seriously because Boomer have a lot of resources, capital, but they have no willingness to help us as a startup co-op to accelerate our idea or believing on our idea where we build in a technological base. They are not trust on us because Boomer prefer invest on a conventional business model, such as they have need and yeah, conventional, but they doesn't understand about what kind of platform, they doesn't understand about the business around with technology and the importance of data, the importance of customer delivery and etc. And if we care about the sustainability of cooperative in here, I think Boomer, where they have a lot of resources, they have to share their capital to the born of new business, and it through incubator or kind of incubator or accelerator, where we will deliver it to the entrepreneur or startup co-op, and we will monitoring it with mentorship gathered with university and the government. Okay, maybe that's the last of my slides, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mbak Anis, for the presentations. It's very interesting that the last presentation, the last slide, it's softly provocating. Softly provocating for the co-op context in Indonesia today. So I would like to we would like to know that in co-op context in Indonesia that you've been incubating now, how much are they now? And can you share one of the interesting projects? And yeah, the one of interesting project then you think that helping in the helping the community for increasing the co-op business in very fast and affecting many people there.
Okay, the total maybe is around almost 50, maybe 48, starting from 2018, yeah. But the journey is doesn't solve. This is roughly in the mid of the incubation, they have an obstacle like lack of vision. They have no determination, so they just leave their idea and the business. So we are as an incubator couldn't do anything and just okay. Yeah, this is the part of the process, I think. And the interesting project is first and now I run a platform called for delivery service for vegetable culinary and also for how to say culinary I forget yeah delivery service platform. The interesting is whatever our goals in cooperative, even though it's a social vision, I think if we run a business, we have to get profit. So we have a minimum viable profit first, not minimum viable product. We have to make a profit, even if that is a little bit, because if we are just focus on our social vision, but there's no profit, we will lose our team. So whatever our social vision is, we have to make it profit first. And that's I get focused in the last 6 months. And I do realize that we are not achieve our passion, but we are achieve what we can make it money and have an impact, because some of our but because before I so struggle on my idealism, but there's no result. Let's say there's no result, then I just pragmatism. Okay, let's I change my mind that I have to realize how to really give an economic impact on my circle, can make an employee still have wages and etc., then I have to make money. And I do not talk about a lot of cooperative, but in practically in how we organize, we still cooperative. That's maybe. Thank you, Kiki.
Now I believe that there is more questions for the speakers in the Lido. So we will move on to the discussions. Thank you, Mas Bima. So we have questions from Ina to Greg. How's your experience in raising investment funds for your co-op cohort? Is it any different from raising funds, normal startups? For the questions, I will directly ask the speakers to answer.
Sure.
Mr. Greg, please.
Yes, thank you. So thank you, Ina. Yeah, so I don't know if it's different in Indonesia, right? I can only speak for United States, but I think here in the United States, it is very different than normal startups. There are a few other loan funds here in the US that are trying to raise money, but we're trying to create equity funds. So we're trying to bring together individuals that want to invest in cooperatives, almost like they're investing in startups. So the individuals might be similar kinds of people, but the way they get their money back is really different. And the main difference that we realize is that in a regular startup, usually what happens here is that the share price goes up. The way someone gets their money back is, you know, maybe they buy a share in a company for $10 and it goes up to $20. But that's based on selling ownership of the company eventually. So it's because, you know, people are trying to buy a stock and then sell a stock. And with cooperatives, most of the time it's about creating long-term ownership, right? For all of us in any country. So it's really difficult to have the stock price go up. And so we have to educate our investors that the way we pay back investors is out of actual company sales or revenue. So I really appreciated Anis's comments about making sure that the companies have sales and are profitable, because that's how we pay back investors, whether it's loan fund or equity fund, is the cooperative has to have enough sales and profits to be able to pay people back. It's not just based on the share price going up in price.
I'll echo that, Greg. So in Australia, that's the same challenge, obviously, because all cooperatives are the same. They don't have a share price going up. So one of the things that we do is we talk to co-ops about embedding a return on capital objective in their whether it's in their constitution or there's a policy at the board level. But the idea being that an investor can see that the cooperative is seeking to generate a return on capital of 10% or 15%, and so therefore paying a dividend to investors, those investors feel confident that they'll receive that dividend, and that's the way they receive their receive their return on their investment, through dividends as opposed through share price appreciation.
Yeah. And I'll just add one more comment, which is that we work a lot with our entrepreneurs on how to raise money so they can scale their business. And I think one of the things cooperatives have to do is talk both languages. And by that, I mean, they have to be able to say, you know, here's how we're going to pay you back and make sort of the financial case. But then also here's the social impact of our cooperative as well, because, you know, if someone just wants to make money, investing in cooperatives is probably not the easiest way to do it. So we also have to be able to say, yes, you'll make a little bit of money back, but then also there's this very large impact. And so when we bring our investors together, we try to talk about both sides of that.
Can I ask you a question, Greg? Yep, just following that, yeah. same question. So in Australia, where the cooperative sector is currently, there's a couple of very large cooperatives, who are want to put together a cooperative development fund. And there's a there's examples of this in Canada. There's a cooperative development fund and elsewhere. And so they want to actually go, we will put 5% of our surplus each year into the development fund. And that fund will make loans to cooperatives, startup cooperatives, but those loans will be more equity-like. So they'll be loans, but they'll be, you know, maybe they get paid over, repaid over 10 years. And that you know, in the event that the cooperative can't pay an interest that year, it won't kind of ramp, they won't be wound up. Does that, in your experience, is that like the loan funds in, does that work in your circumstance? Are other cooperatives supporting the emergence of funding?
Yeah, we have had a hard time getting funding from the large cooperatives. And so the cooperative funds that exist here in the United States are individuals or other nonprofits who want to fund this kind of work. But we've found that the large cooperatives are very focused on their own members for obvious reasons, but it's been very hard for them to get them to put their actual money in. Originally, when we started our program, that was our strategy, is we said we'll go to the large cooperatives, we'll try to get them to put some money in. And maybe now that we've run the program for, you know, 3 years, maybe we could go back and be a different story, but we had a very hard time getting them to do it.
Okay, I can see Tehera raising her hands.
All right. I just want to add some. Comments. Hi, Greg. Heron. Nice to see you here. Actually, Indonesia, we has what is institution? Actually, it is the government institution to give a sub loan to co-op. We call it like a LPDB. I don't know how to explain in English. So they will give soft loan to co-op and with the certain requirements, like 2 years general meeting or things like that. But we don't have like what the Canada have, cooperative funding like in Australia. This really cooperative movement to initiate the institution, but here the government is already initiate to build this institution. That's my comment. Thank you, Kiki.
Thank you, Tehera, for the information. And we're moving on to the second. Andis will answer the questions first.
Okay. Mungkin saya jawab pakai bahasa ya. Okay. Bagaimana saya mengelaborasikan pengalaman saya membangun koperasi? Apakah memulai dari modal atau dari orang? Jadi saya bereksperimentasi. I have an experiments build cooperative from people first, and unfortunately it doesn't work because we have a three people with the one vision to create a startup co-op and also to create a business. But the happen is
have an ego. Kami bertiga hanya punya masalah ego.
The basically is activists, and there are a lot of more talk and cooperative more idealism, how we build idealistic and cooperative, terlalu idealis dalam membangun kooperasi, sehingga in the point of demokrasi kita sangat we have a difficult to make decisions. See, meanwhile in business we have to make a decision day by day and we have to take it fastly. And then now we have the capital is important. We couldn't run our business without capital first, because from there we can accelerate our business. I ever mentioned by Pak Nur Sutrisno, he ever said that koperasi akan sulit berkembang kalau pendapatan PDB kita juga tidak belum mengalami pertumbuhan seperti itu. Itu akan memberikan dampak terhadap pertumbuhan koperasi juga pertumbuhan dan kemudian seimbang dengan pertumbuhan koperasinya itu juga. Jadi itu mungkin sedikit pengalaman saya. Tapi itu tentu saja pengalaman saya yang masih terbatas 4-5 tahun belakangan ini. Mungkin akan lebih berbeda dengan pengalaman saya ke depan, bahwasanya people have the main important on the starting a business. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anis. Because Kiki is leaving now, I will cover her. I see that Vincentus Repu want to add some opinion. Hello, Vincentus?
Vincentus, yeah, sorry. Mas Bima.
Okay.
Mas Bima, ini kita campur-campur nih bahasa Indonesia, bahasa Inggris. Karena ya, Mbak Hira. Mbak Anies, selamat bertemu ya.
Selamat pagi, Pak.
Okay, one of your slides put in the first rank that you experience that it is easy to build a cooperative. When you put people
Anda menempatkan orang-orang
in the first and the foremost, then you are facing the main problem and the main point of building a cooperative, that is education. So it is not easy to build a cooperative when you do not start with education. But everybody has its own experience, then we have to learn from one to another. Thank you.
Thank you for the response, Pak.
Salam sukses, Bu.
Salam sukses. Jadi mungkin kalau boleh saya menanggapi, Pak, justru teman-teman jauh lebih memahami koperasi ketika mereka berpraktek, ketika mereka menghadapi masalah, dan akhirnya mereka bertemu pada titik, saya butuh ini, dan saya butuh ini, dan ternyata koperasi di tengah jalan itu adalah jawabannya. Bukan dengan doktriner mengatakan bahwasanya koperasi is the best way for your business, atau we have to run our business through kooperatif gitu. Ternyata it doesn't work gitu, Pak. Ternyata ketika kita di tengah jalan dan menghadapi banyak permasalahan, di titik situlah kita akhirnya memahami based on praktek terlebih dahulu gitu mungkin. Sehingga proses awal saya yang mengedukasi terlalu banyak ternyata justru membuat mereka dan tidak diimbangi dengan bisnisnya akhirnya pada lepas satu per satu. But of course, education is a main pillar in cooperative. Thank you, Pak.
Okay, thank you, Vanis, for your reflection to building a cooperative. Okay, we will next to the question, yeah. From Abizar, what is the role of the step toward cooperative in your country? Maybe Rohan can answer first.
Oh, that's a big question. it goes in swings and roundabouts. So if you go back to the 1930s and 1940s in Australia, cooperatives were hugely supported by government. They're less so today. the role of government is they treat cooperatives as much like any other corporation organization. We challenge governments both at the national and the kind of the local level to understand that cooperatives kind of deliver more than your equivalent corporate, so that they deliver social objectives as Greg was talking to before. They deliver impact in a way that traditional companies can't. So part of our challenge is to engage with government and to get them to understand that cooperatives can deliver impact in a way that and so potentially could be treated in ways that other companies don't. But as it stands today, most governments just look at cooperatives in Australia as much like any other company. There are some leftover benefits that like remained from the 1930s and 40s. So our cooperatives in Australia operate under their own section of the Tax Act from 1945. And so they have some benefits that flow through there, but that's more of a hangover. So that would be kind of my response to that, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. Maybe next, Greg from US, you can share what the state support for the cooperative.
Yeah, it is amazing to see how similar some of our answers are. So I would say my answer is very similar to Rohan's. They're looked at as corporations like any other corporation, and there are some special leftover benefits from a long time ago, mostly around the farmer and agricultural co-ops. And so the tax benefits that we have all relate to the farmer agricultural co-ops, and the rest of us kind of claim that even though it's not written for us. So when we have, driver co-ops or technology co-ops, we use the same tax benefit. But here in the US, there's not a lot of government support for cooperatives, like except for that one tax perk. So they happen, but nothing special. We kind of have to fight for it just like any other business.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. I think Kiki is joining us again. Hello, Kiki.
Yeah, apologize okay. For the issues. I just get back in. Yeah, the third speaker for the questions, Mbak Anis, what is the role of the state towards cooperative in your country? I think I know we were Indonesian, but maybe our two speakers want to know in our context too. So, please.
Well, I think in here there is a lot of audience have proper answer how our state towards cooperative in our country. Yeah. We have a lot of. PR, yeah, homework that we have to finish it because from regulations and also Tahira, maybe LPDP it doesn't helpful for the begin of new startup, yeah, because they need asset untuk dipinjamkan and it really doesn't help us to get funding, easier funding and then the connection between the existing cooperative to the new cooperative, we have to solve it also. We need a bridging between existing co-op to the newborn cooperative. And maybe, but I didn't see that our country deliver this policy to help us solve this problem, especially me as a practitioner in a co-op, but the regulation that helped us, that helped me in the meantime, maybe the establish of 9 people. More than it, I didn't see good policies yet.
Okay,
Thank you. Maybe Tahera will edit.
Okay. Thank you. So can we move on to second questions, or Tahera wants to ask something? Because Mbak Anis was mentioning Tahera first.
I think in the past we have a bit advanced policy for towards cooperative, like support for government, but behind that, the effect of the policy make cooperative not resilient. So I think they get it like a spoiled co-op what happened in the past, and maybe this time we see, as the young generation, we see the impact of the policy. So this time we look, I bit agree with Anis with what happened here. We agree that some policy it's not support at all for cooperative developments, as I said last night. But I think the initiative for some people will make difference for the future. So I hope with people who gather here last night and today, this morning, to give insight to many people and more people to aware that what the policy for cooperative development is not still unsupport us as many aspects, right? Thank you, Kiki. Thank you, Anis. Good luck for you.
Yeah, thank you. Let's move on to the next questions. It's for Rohan. How long does the process...
I was just thinking about something that I probably should have said in relation to the last question. So I'm going to come back to it, because there's a one positive thing that we're seeing with respect to government. And that's, but it's not cooperative only for cooperatives, but like the idea that social procurement has become something that certainly in Australia has become a focus. So the governments prefer to deal with social enterprise, so they'll preference social enterprise in their buying. That idea is spreading so that regions have social procurement policies that apply for all the businesses. So the large businesses in that region will adopt a social procurement framework and also preference social enterprise. And in that context, we're now starting to see that it's taken a while, but like cooperatives being included as part of that social enterprise, so benefiting from social procurement. So whether it's a cleaning cooperative that is owned by its employees being preferred over a commercial cooperative, or in the case of Wayfarer, that in a sense is part of what we're talking to tourism boards about, to say, well, you can support this model, And by doing so, you'll have reinvestment back in your local community. That idea is kind of highly aligned to social procurement. So I probably should have said that in relation to the last question, that's one of the positives that we're seeing, a kind of an emerging trend, notwithstanding the fact that they haven't been strongly supported till now. And Hira's saying, yep, so that's just looks like it's a common, is that a similar experience in Indonesia, Hira?
Yes, now they have a president instruction for the social entrepreneurship policy. This is still drafting, and then they will discuss it maybe in the next months or next year, I don't know, but this is already prepared. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, and so how long does the process of engage, define, market, and execute and deliver? So that relates to the farmer mutual. And I guess the best way to answer this is to say that what happens is we have, so in Australia there's, I don't know, I think there's 100,000 farmers across the country, maybe more. And our objective is for the mutual to have, like, it only will employ, say, 6 people. So the way it interacts with this very, very large number of farmers is by through these networks, these farmer networks. So Landcare is a farmer network. And so in terms of how long does the process, the first part of that process, engage, define, is about that local Landcare group engaging their local farmers for them to understand what the opportunity is for them to better manage the land in their region, and in doing so to create environmental market products. It's kind of difficult to explain, but like, so to create carbon credits. And so that first part is done at the local level. They engaged and defined, and that could take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But the local Landcare group is leading that. Then they will come to the mutual, and the mutual will then help them take that product to market. So the mutual will then go, right, you've defined this carbon credit. We will now take that to our buyers. And so that market execute and deliver. And because these transactions are, you know, 25 years is the shortest that you can do in the carbon markets. So that the long-term transactions, the mutual then assists in those farmers in marketing and executing the transaction, but then supporting that transaction over the next 25 years. So I hope that kind of explains what that engage, define, market, execute, and deliver means.
Thank you, Rohan, for answering. And we will moving on to the next question for Greg from Alia. The fact that US people don't really know about cooperative, do you have any experience in incubating teams that are unfamiliar with co-ops? How do they perform?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thank you for that, Aaliyah. I think there's two challenges here. So one is for the entrepreneurs, and the second challenge is for the customers who don't always know what a cooperative is. For the entrepreneurs, we think about it that we have to teach them the cooperative side. We have to explain, you know, governance and how to bring in member voice and how to make sure you're really going out and communicating with your members very well. And we also have to teach the business. And so maybe, you know, some people in the cooperative movement just teach governance and you know, sort of inclusion. And then some people in the business world just teach business, right? And we need to do both really well. And so we have people coming in that maybe are familiar with co-ops and they need to learn the business side. We have people that maybe know business that needs to learn the governance side. But we have to do both well. But I think the other piece of your, and I shared a link in the chat, which is our Lean Co-op class, which is how we think about solving that problem. So it's a little different than some other approaches. But basically we teach first that we want people to really identify what is the problem they're trying to solve, then the solution, then the business model, and then finally the ownership model. So we're actually stacking problem, solution, business model, ownership model. So the ownership model is actually last, which is very different than some other people, because we want people to start with the business model first. And we explain that the business model is different than the ownership model. The way you make money is different than who benefits from the business. Anyway, so you can check out our online class if you want to take a look at it. And then the other part of the problem is that you know, there's a lot of people who are customers who don't know what cooperatives are also. So we teach our entrepreneurs that when they market their business, it's not enough to just say they're a cooperative. They need to be at least as good as their best competition, and that maybe being a cooperative makes it even more attractive to buy from them. But that it's not enough to say you're cooperative, because even though people in the US like cooperatives, even if they can't fully say what they are, but they have to compete on every other level. And then the cooperative is like the extra bonus that makes it even better, is what we tell them.
Thank you, Mr. Greg. It's very interesting. And we have three last questions. I believe this is for Mr. Rohan. And first of them is in Bahasa. So let me translate it for you. In Indonesia, we have tourism community developed by the government. Is that possible to adapting wayfarer in the community, in the tourism community? And we have the second questions. How to measure every member fund so it would be fair for all? Was it there any difference between old members and new members to fund the co-op? I think we can answer the two questions, so we can short the time. Please, Mr. Rohan, stage is yours.
Thank you. Sorry, here I don't read Indonesian, so I'm not sure whether you've answered the first question for me. In relation to the first question, if governments are managing the tourism, that's highly consistent. That is very consistent with the Wayfarer model, because what we're seeking to do is to have the members of the cooperative being those local, they could be government, they're most likely to be, quasi-government at the very least, entities that are responsible for promoting tourism in their area. So if there's a tourism board that's responsible for tourism in Bali, for example, then that would be the member of the cooperative. Have I answered that question? In terms of the second question, how to measure this talks to like a classic problem with all co-ops. It's not necessarily a problem for new co-ops, but it's certainly a problem for the design of a co-op, particularly as it scales and becomes and accumulates profits. And so that's this idea that there's a difference between old members and new members. The old members may have invested more in creating the cooperative, so that new members get the benefit of the old members' investment. And it may come a time where old members want to leave the cooperative, and they can look at, and they won't go, I want some of that value. There's the cooperative's created this value, when they're going, well, I helped create that, I want some of that. So that's that problem. There's this problem between old and new members, and how do you manage that? The way that we manage it, for example, with respect to both the mutual and the cooperative, is through rebates. And so what a rebate is if a member pays a fee, then you can rebate them back that fee. So and what we do is we accumulate a rebate balance over time, so that like if a member's paying, for example, $10,000 every year for 5 years, after 5 years they will have a rebate balance of $50,000. That if we then want to distribute surplus back to members, we can do it through that rebate, so that that's one way that, because that the rebates are based on fees actually paid by members, it's a way that it's equal for all members, by virtue of the fact that old members will have paid more fees, so they will get more of the rebates. New members will pay less fees, so they'll get less of the rebates. So that's the principal mechanism that we use for kind of managing the the surplus over time so that you're distributing it to old members and new.
Thank you, Mr. Rohan, for the answer. And it's 11:39 in Wita time, which means we have a little bit more time for discussions. And we have two last questions. And I'm not sure if for one speakers, but I believe we can have our answer for this question from anonymous. Maybe the people who give the questions will be appear here. The incubator and incubatee in Indonesia have a egocentric problem, a big egocentric problem. So they will going by themselves. Maybe. Mbak Anis?
Okay, I'm sorry, Kiki, I lost your voice. So I'll answer. The question is, incubator and incubatee in Indonesia have the big polemic, egocentric and polemic. So they run by themselves. Well, actually, I do agree that in each area, they have their own characteristic, they have their own potential, they have our mentorship, they have their own culture. So, well, that's okay if they run by themselves with their own characteristic. And then the question is how we increase the awareness to cooperative. Maybe I can answer is, first, we have to formula a form where cooperative have beneficial for them, not only in social impact, but also in material. Because I do believe that the run cooperative way is not to suffer, right? We have to prosperous in cooperative, not to suffer on it. And then the answer is we have to we have to create a formula first for the incubator that cooperative have the best form for the society that in that incubator through cooperative, they are not only works on the social, but also in the economics. I mean, in business also. So the local government, they have a willingness to, how it say, to talk to the community to support their local product, not to use a great product that the money is doesn't. I say tidak berada, not in the local area, but they are run back to the capital city. I think there is that we will need a local willingness from the government to say that we use to we have to use our local product and to use a local brand to increase the and also to support the cooperative play. That's it.
Yeah, thank you. And we're moving to next questions. I believe the next questions is all I think about the wayfarer. I think Wayfair is getting more interesting because in Indonesia we have a lot of tourism places, and these three questions is for Wayfair, Mr. Rohan. And is it possible to use Wayfarer as an existing platform to connect local co-op tourism in Indonesia? And does Wayfarer
Thanks, Kiki. I think then, does Wayfarer organize and produce organic fertilizer? No. participates in, I think that's kind of mixing the two ideas, but it it's a platform to help local tourism organizations reinvest in the local community. So it's like Airbnb, but it enables, rather than those profits being taken out of the community, they actually stay and get reinvested in the community. Is it possible to use Wayfarer as an existing platform to connect tourism in Indonesia? The answer is yes, but to understand, Wayfarer is in Australia, it's using a platform which it's using a software as a service. So it's using a platform, and that could be used by an Indonesian equivalent. So if there was a startup in Indonesia that wanted to do what Wayfarer is doing, it doesn't have to be called Wayfarer. It could use the same platform that Wayfarer is using, and it pays the same fees to use that, because that is a software as a service that we're using. So the technology is not a challenge. There are some, and we're really happy to share our learnings about how to apply this business model, because the business model is really about, we call it community wealth building. It's really about enabling communities to take the local tourism dollar and reinvest it in their local community in a way that, you know, helps to create business in that local community. So we're really happy to share our learnings. And so that's why, you know, we see that, you know, the idea of creating a federated structure, so an international entity that actually enables this type of model to be replicated in any country around the world. We think that would be a really useful thing, because we firmly believe the model's a good one. And in terms of the software platform, we see that if there were to be a number of countries creating this model, we could, in concept, build our own platform that would be cooperatively owned by all, you know, by all these countries. And so that's really of interest to us. And so to that, you know, to that extent, we're thinking that if we set aside part of our earnings to enable that to happen, then that might be something that'd be really interesting to do, to kind of promote this model globally and create our own software platform that's cooperatively owned globally. So does that answer that question? I think it might do.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Rohan, for the answers. And I think that's all the questions for the three speakers today. Thank you very much. Apologize for my face doesn't appear because the signals here is unstable. So I would like to say thank you every thought and every soft provocating that made us think about the future of cooperative movement in Indonesia in future. And we will, for the participants, we will remind you that we still have upcoming event after this, and if feel free if you would like to join it. Thank you for the participations, and thank you for the everything that we discussed today, and we hope that see each other more in next discussions. And for participants who wants to know more about the movement, the Startup Co-op, the Incubators Co-op, and Inner Circle, and we can contact them in the their website. So thank you for Gapatma Demeko who held the party, the festivals for economic democracy, and we hope we will see in next in the next event next year, and have a nice day, everyone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kiki. Before we close the session, can we just take a photo? So please open your cam, everyone. Okay, we're waiting. Please open your camera. Okay. Okay. Three. Okay. We still waiting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, cheese. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kiki. Thank you, Banis. Thank you, Rohan, Greg.
Thanks, Papa.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys. See you here.
See you, Greg. Thank you so much.
See you, Anos.
See you, Rohan, Greg.
See you, Kiki.
See you, Rohan, Greg. Thank you so much.